Romans chapter 2, our portion this evening is verses 6 through 11. These are the words of God. He will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Now Jews thought that the entire human race would be split into Jews versus Gentiles, or Israelites versus Gentiles, or Jews versus Greeks. And in this passage, the apostle has begun to talk about the day of the revelation of the wrath, or the day of the wrath of God, and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And he says, when God judges on that last day, and to judge is to make a distinction, to make a judgment is to determine what goes in one category and what goes in another category. And the judgment is not in the way that the Jews thought it was going to go. The judgment ends up with all those who work one kind of deed on one side, and on that side there are Jews and Greeks, and all those who work the other kind of deed on the other side. And on that side there are Jews and Greeks. So God is not going to be partial. He's not going to do the judgment according to parties, where you have the Jewish party that goes into blessedness and the Greek party that goes into accursedness in the last day. Rather, we see that there is an accord between rewards and deeds. He will render to each one according to his deeds. Now, this does not mean that those who go into blessing have earned their blessedness. What it means is that he who has given himself to be their righteousness and to atone for their guilt also gives them good working, so that no one goes to heaven without Jesus, but no one has Jesus without being changed and without being made like Jesus. So there is an accord between the blessings of the righteous through faith in Jesus Christ and the deeds, the works of those who behave righteously from or out of their faith in Jesus Christ. That is to say, that they have believed the gospel, which is the power of God for salvation. You remember that almost a chapter ago. And they have found that in the gospel is revealed the righteousness of God, both from faith and for faith, that God gives both justification and sanctification. The first party, then, is those who receive or have rendered unto them, going into verse 7, eternal life. Now, who is it who receives eternal life in the last day? In the day of wrath and the revealing of the righteous judgment of God. Those who by patient continuance in doing good. They're not practicing such things, the wicked things that were listed in those 23 things at the end of chapter 1. They're not the practicers who cannot escape the judgment of God that is described in verses 1 through 5. Of chapter 2. They're not the practicers of those evil things. Rather, they are those who patiently continue to do good. Why? because they're not seeking the false glories of this world. They are seeking for true glory. Remember, God has revealed himself to us. He's put the knowledge of himself in us and revealed the truth about himself in the creation. And in the unrighteousness and ungodliness of men, what have they done? They have suppressed the truth and unrighteousness, and they neither glorified him nor gave thanks. But when God brings us to faith, he makes us to seek true glory. That means he makes us to seek himself. So, glory and honor, that which is weighty, that which matters, not the false lie that is a created thing, but the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. And immortality, that eternal life. So those whom the Lord has brought to faith in Jesus Christ, and so they're hoping in Jesus to receive Jesus, to receive God in Jesus Christ, as they desire glory and honor and immortality. And they live for God and not for self. They live for eternity and not for this age. They demonstrate the faith that God has worked in them by their patient continuance in doing good. Now, does their patient continuance in doing good earn blessedness? Does it merit blessedness? No. But God rewards them with blessing by grace. He rewards them for the sake of Christ. So in order to earn blessing by doing good, you don't have to do a good that is good enough to be worthy of the blessing. Because Jesus has atoned for your sin, and any good that comes out of you is from Jesus and will be rewarded for his sake. And there are rewards and blessedness for the righteous in the last day, and those rewards accord with our deeds. And of course, there is no inconsistency at all between this and that wonderful Bible truth of justification by grace alone, through faith alone. However, there are others who receive according to their deeds. Verse 8, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. He's referring us back to chapter 1, isn't he? Because the wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men, who, although the truth about God is known to them, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So you can hear all of that being brought back to the forefront, brought back up when he says, those who are self-seeking, they do not obey the truth. So not only do they not obey the truth about God and the creation, but they instead obey unrighteousness and receive indignation and wrath, but they also don't obey the truth about God in the gospel. There are people who are in the church and hear the gospel, and they hear that God counts us righteous through faith in Jesus, and that everyone whom he counts righteous, he starts to make righteous in our conduct, not just in his counting, but in our conduct. He starts to make us righteous like Jesus. There are people who hear that, but they don't obey the truth. They push down on that truth also. Because even though they're in the church and hearing the gospel, they're still living for themselves. They are still obeying unrighteousness. There are even pastors who preach what they call the gospel in such a way that makes it sound like sinning is okay. Well, you will not think that sinning was okay if you spent your life practicing sin and you come to the judgment and you discover that, as the apostle says here, there is an accord between what you receive at the judgment and how you lived. So he says, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, what will they receive? Indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Greek. So there is no partiality with God. And that's true in two different ways. First of all, There's Jews and Greeks in each category. So God does not have one ethnicity of people who go to heaven and are blessed, and all the other ethnicities go to hell and are cursed. So there's no partiality in that way. But there's also no partiality in that what God gives at the end actually corresponds to how people lived. Now, when he gives the wrath and indignation to the wicked, did they earn that? Absolutely. But when he gives the blessing, the blessedness, the reward of heaven and rewards in heaven to the righteous, did they earn that? No. Jesus earned it. And Jesus made them righteous, just like what he has earned for them. So that God's judging according to Christ for the righteous is not, like the papists call it, a legal fiction. That God is just lying and saying that they're righteous. First of all, union with Christ is true. When you are Christ's and Christ is yours, it's not a legal fiction. You have him and everything that belongs to him. But in the second place, the reward that you receive, the blessedness into which you enter, will actually correspond to what he has made you into, what he has made you like, by the time he has done with you. Just as the apostle says to the beginning of Philippians, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a work in you will complete it. There is no partiality with God. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless to us this word. I pray that you would help me as I continue to study it and prepare it and arrange it for the sermon this Wednesday in the midweek meeting. We ask, O Lord, that you would already be working in the hearts of those who will attend and those who will hear, and that you would come with power then on the Wednesday evening, and that that this word would glorify you and benefit your people, because your Spirit would mix our hearing with faith. And so we pray that you would bless to us our time that we just had in it in family worship, and give us that faith so that the word would profit us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.